You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Mike McNamara in for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Network. Hope wherever you are, whatever you're doing on this Friday morning, that you're having it. I am kind of fresh off attending the 2nd Marine Division Change of Command, like one I've never seen in my life, to be honest with you. And I'm pretty fired up about it. The all total 4,000 Marines in the change of command ceremony, and it looked absolutely awesome. The pageantry of the Marine Corps is something that I never, ever, ever tire of. And I know a lot of people go, "Oh, those things, you know, they're ridiculous, and they take up so much time, and you know, all vanity and all the rest of that stuff." And I would say that I don't agree with that stuff. I think it's important, and I think I saw it tonight. It's important to trot your pageantry out there. And you can't do it very often, but I think that it's important that the Marines see it. and see what they're a part of. And you know, from the battalions, the regiments, the 8th Marines, the 6th Marines, the 2nd Marines, here aboard Camp Lejeune, to the tank battalions, the track battalion, and the headquarters battalion, to the artillery battalion, to recon battalion. I mean, all of them out there. In formation, 4,000 of them. And then to see a good friend of mine, a battle buddy times three, who I've served together 4 times within my life, one of my best friends, after the, you know, the colors are passed and the speeches are made, and speech, turn around and look, and I had a great seat for it, because I'm a good friend of his and he took care of me. So you're watching him, and so I'm behind his left shoulder a little bit more. So if you're looking straight ahead, it's 12 o'clock for him. I'm probably at about 7 o'clock sitting in the front row. And so you're watching him as he turns around and looking at 25% of the 2nd Marine Division standing in front of him. Behind the Marines, if you can just bear with me, I'll describe it for you. The way the parade is formed, you have the units obviously in front of them. Directly in front of them is the formation of the staff, which is about 8-9 Marines, and then you have the different regiments and separate battalions laid out in front of them, and their commanders out in front. And then smack dab in the middle of the troop formations as it's laid out kind of left to right, smack dab in the middle of it is the American flag, the colors, right? The 2nd Marine Division battle colors with streamers. And you look at that, you look at those colors and you see all those streamers fluttering in the wind. And you know what they represent. We know what they represent. And what they represent is the combat history of the 2nd Marine Division. Written in the blood of Marines from generation to generation who answer their country's call to duty. And if you read history, if you like history like I do, and in particular if you like Marine Corps history, you're watching that, you know, gently sway in the breeze on a cloudy night at Camp Lejeune, just outside of the city of Jacksonville, North Carolina. I think it's the New Bern River, I think is behind it. And it looks absolutely awesome. But it gets better because behind that are the battlers of every battalion and regiment that is standing in front of them, that compose the 2nd Marine Division with all their battle streamers. And it's an awesome, awesome look. Behind that is are two artillery pieces with their barrels crossed. Set back from that, and what would be underneath the barrels, but further back, is an M1A2 battle tank. And then as you go to the right, you see LAVs, you see Amtraks, what else? And you see trucks, you see Humvees. So everything that the division essentially owns, you see laid out there. And I have to tell you, it's pretty awesome. I don't know that I've ever seen a parade this big. I think I marched in one. I don't know if it was this big at Camp Pendleton when I was a lieutenant, division change of command in 1984, maybe. And so it was unbelievable to sit there and watch it. And then, again, to be at 7 o'clock behind him, as he turns around and faces the Marines and sailors of the 2nd Marine Division, knowing that he's now the commanding. I sat there and I looked at him and I thought, I wonder what's going through his head right now, right? You know, inside of the Major General that David Furness is still a guy, right? He's a pretty normal guy at that. And you just wonder, what is he thinking about? You know, he's earned this privilege to command. He's led in combat at the battalion level, at the regiment level, and regimental level, and been successful. He's an incredible leader, and he's a down-to-earth, tough guy. And so you're sitting there watching him, and I know him as well as anybody, I think. And you know how much he loves Marines and the Marine Corps. He started his career at Camp Lejeune as a member of 2nd Battalion, 8th Marines, and the 2nd Marine Division. And now he comes back, all these years later, 31 years later, as the battalion commander. As a battalion commander, as a division commander. So what's going through his head? And he tries to speak, and his voice cracks. And you're watching him going, come on, man, suck it up. No, you're watching it going, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's absolutely, positively awesome. And then the other thing that's really cool is our friends from across the country, you know, flying in to be here. And we, you know, I think I can speak for a lot of people, but, you know, why would you, you know, oh, you wanted to be here. I wanted to be here for him, and I needed to be here for me. I needed to reconnect with guys I haven't seen in a long time that I know are going to be there. And that was an incredible part of it, too. I've described it as a soft leather broken in glove that you put on a baseball glove. Could be a glove, but those, you just put it on, it just melts onto your hand. It feels good, and that's what being around these Marines feels like. And so it was just an awesome night. It was just an awesome night, and 4,000 Marines to pass in review, that takes a while, right? And to watch every unit come marching by with every former 2nd Marine Division commander standing with him, and then you're seeing these young Marines marching and look like studs in their uniforms, and knowing that they've been standing out there for almost an hour and a half and doing things that Marines do in parades. It was just a spectacular display by the Marines and sailors of the 2nd Marine Division. So hats off to them. Congratulations on an incredible display of one of the great assets of the United States and its foreign policy and its defense strategy. And that is the Marines of the 2nd Marine Division. So. It's awesome. We'll check some news headlines here in a little bit, and then the chef's going to join us. So hopefully we'll get a report from him, but the highly disciplined chef is going to join us. So looking forward to that. And then you've heard us talk about Napa Man. He's going to finally make an appearance. That's right. Napa Man flew in. And he's going to make an appearance, and he's a pretty funny guy. But he's a good guy. So Napa Man will join us in hour three. And I think if you listened yesterday, you heard Kurt Knowles, call sign Rudy, and so Rudy's going to join us, and along with Napa Man, and we'll talk about it. So good morning to you. Hope you're having a good morning. And Whitney Houston makes it official as she sings the national anthem. So sit back, relax. All Marine Radio here on a Friday morning. nicely done, as always, on a Friday. And this may not surprise anybody, but this is dedicated to the Marines of the 2nd Marine Division and the work that they put into to put on an incredible display of one of the nation's incredible assets, the 2nd Marine Division. And, you know, these things take a lot of work, from the planning part of it to getting everybody's uniform and equipment right and make sure it's a uniform and make sure it looks great, to getting out there and the rehearsals that you do hour after hour after hour. And, man, it's a fair amount of misery, because it's certainly no fun. They try to make it as enjoyable as possible, but at the end of the day, it's work and it's getting it right, and they got it right. So, with incredible, respect, this is dedicated to the Marines, who, a whole bunch of us watched tonight, at the 2nd Marine Division Change of Command. So, well done, Marines. It's dedicated to you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was Bodja, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather around Marineland. A little bit different when you're on the East Coast, because everything's cool. Still early morning, still night on the West Coast. So take a look at the weather on the weather temperatures here. Always interesting. Quantico, Virginia. Clouds at 74 right now. I'm headed there later today. Yeah, fired up about it. Get to see my son John, my daughter-in-law Susie, and my grandson Finny Finn Finn. That's right. Currently fair. And 73 early in the Quantico area. They've got a flood warning going on, so don't see that every day. Everybody who listens to the show knows I'm fascinated by weather alerts. They have a flash flood watch and a small craft advisory out. Small craft advisory is relatively standard for the Quantico area. Currently where I am, at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, raining and 76. In Big Timber, Montana, it is clear and 62 degrees. Granbury, Texas, I'm not seeing. Oh, there it is. It is clear and 81 degrees in Granbury, Texas. It's going to be warm there today. Further west, it is cloudy and 70 degrees at Camp Pendleton. It is clear and 84 degrees in 29 Palms. Further to the west in Okinawa, it is cloudy and 87 degrees, so it's going to be warm there today. In this Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is sunny and 98 degrees. So it should be a relatively mild day there. And at the home of your friends here at All Marine Radio, 70 degrees under clear skies. Tell you what the forecast is, because I like to know stuff like that. Degrees and sunny today in Southern California. On Saturday, the same 85 and sunny, lows overnight of 69 degrees. And that is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll check some news headlines. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. All Marine Radio continues on a Friday right after this.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, rattle the desk, sat on the stairs, say you leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I'm no weak man, all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? Kitchen floors are wet, and half is still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? That's so aggressive. I know we've met all good intentions.
The expeditionary event continues next week up in Washington, D.C. in the Quantico area. So excited to do that. The I told you about all my friends here, and you know, here on the Marine Corps for a long time, you know a lot of people, and the gunner knows a lot of people, and I, you know, a lot of times, you know, you think you come to these kind of things to go ahead and you know, to pay your respect. You know, I would tell you after coming to this, and it's interesting, guys that I've served with came, and you don't, you get this incredible feeling from it. Yeah, I don't want to get all hokey and everything, but you do. You know, I talk about when you volunteer, you get more than you give, and it's not even close for the most part. You get a ton. So I would tell you things like this, when your friends you've served with have the same thought that you do. I've got to go. And, you know, I need support. But, you know, the thing we don't think about is how much we need it. The sustainment that you feel when you're around just such good people is really is cool. is cool. And so, you know, a lot of times I think we think we, if we connect on Facebook, you know, you're somehow connected to them. I would tell you, my experience is, go out of your way to connect to, you know, your old friends. And say hi. And recreate that relationship that might have been really important in your life at one point. And I would tell you that you're not going to regret it. So, yeah, because I, you know, again, I have a series of friends that we talk almost every day. And that is invaluable to all of us. And don't ask me what it is. I'm not sure I could explain it, but is, you know, in life, you have certain people that you gravitate to and get along. And there's never been a time on the planet that reaching out and having a relationship with them is easier. And I would tell you, just I'd offer you one thing: just create a text that has, you know, your small group of friends in it that hung out together at a certain time. You know, first it's the Marine Corps, and you start talking as a group, and it's great. It's absolutely positively great. So again, I would certainly recommend that to you, because as I said, one of the things you begin to realize when you come to things like this is that you're getting as much out of it as you thought you were giving, probably more. And so whether they be class reunions that people roll their eyes over and things like that, go there for you. Reconnect with people. Reestablish those relationships, because that's how life gets better. That's how life gets good, is when you can do that. So, just an awesome, awesome show put on by the Second Marine Division. A great friend of mine is Commanding General David J. Furness of the Storage Second Marine Division. So very cool evening here at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. We'll check some news headlines. We'll get going. Start with Marine Corps Times. There's a petition going around. You know, we always consider weighty things on this program. There's a petition going around. It's entitled "Bring This Delectable Chicken Chain to Military Bases." Survey says, that's right, Chick-fil-A. A petition is gaining steam to bring the popular chicken chain to military bases. Service members are making their voices heard without a pressing issue impacting the nation's military through a petition that is quickly gaining steam. No, not readiness concerns, toxic command climates, matters of pay, or dwindling morale, but the glaring deficiency in the contiguous United States of the most pleasurable food chain in the country, Chick-fil-A. Yeah, how about that? My kids are huge Chick-fil-A people. Yeah, go figure. The Bring Chick-fil-A to Military Base Installations petition, initiated on change.org by senior airman Emily Carby. It's accumulated nearly 20,000 signatures in less than 5 days. And so there's a poll that goes with this. Percent of the people that have taken the poll have agree that, yes, it should be there. Chick-fil-A is a necessary part of a Marine Corps installation. 98%. I don't know that you can get 98% of people to agree on anything. So, nonetheless, pretty impressive, eh? I agree. 52 years after the fact, a Marine Corps pilot received the Distinguished Flying Cross. The thing is, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Jennings, didn't even really want the Distinguished Flying Cross, one of America's highest battlefield honors, and he certainly didn't push to get it pinned on. But there he stood in a special ceremony on July 27th. at Naval Support Activity Mid-South Marine Detachment in Millington, Texas. His longtime pal, retired Marine Colonel Haywood Smith, presented it to the 88-year-old for his extraordinary heroism in the skies over Laos 52 years ago. Quote, "I don't like to use the word hero," close quote, Jennings said during a telephone interview with Navy Times from the Texas border where he is working. Quote, "Everyone who does this line of work for a living is a hero. There were guys who did a lot more than I did." Yes, Jack Jennings is still looking for work at 88, which was referenced above. I know, right? 88, still working. He's a contractor for the Department of Homeland Security's Federal Emergency Management Agencies. He's handling an assignment now along the Texas border with Mexico. By Distinguished Flying Cross, his Distinguished Flying Cross, it's still in a suitcase. Obviously a little bit unassuming. There's no question about how he earned it. His award citation recalls the ruthless fight over Laos in April of 1966 when then Major Jennings was one of four Marine pilots piloting the A-4E Skyhawks out of their base in Chulai. The article goes on. The mission was to destroy a target behind enemy lines, but bad weather forced them to veer off and assault a heavily fortified and defended position along the Ho Chi Minh Trail. The cross, man, that's a big deal. So wow, congratulations to him. Congratulations to him. Next story is headline, "The lone dog tag recovered from North Korea had a name, and now the family knows." The military has contacted the family of a service member missing from the Korean War. Dog tag was found among 55 cases of remains returned to the United States on Thursday. His family will be presented that tag in Arlington, Virginia next week as they arrive with hundreds of others for an annual meeting on the efforts to find their missing family members. One of the things that I was surprised to learn is that the DNA, these families have worked diligently over all these years, and there is a base that has 91% of the American soldiers that were lost in North Korea. 91% of them, their DNA samples of their families are in a database. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. So, anyway, the dog tag was among the cases of human bones and a limited number of artifacts, such as boots, buttons, and buckles, that North Korea said came from the village of Sin Hun Ri. That location was part of the 1950 Battle of the Chosin Reservoir, said John Byrd, chief scientist and defense POW MIA accounting agencies. More than 3,000 Marines and soldiers perished at Chosin, and more than 12,000 were wounded in one of the costliest battles of the war. We know that. We know that. More than 5,300 sets of U.S. remains still missing in North Korea. He made his first public comment about the condition of remains and things like that. Quote, "We found remains that were consistent with being American. We have remains that look to have been in a state of preservation consistent with coming from the Korean War era. The material evidence found with the remains is consistent with U.S. military-issued equipment from the Korean War and also was in a state of preservation consistent with having come from Korean War battlefield sites." And then he goes on to say, so you can sum that all up, that the remains are good candidates of being missing Americans from the Korean War. So that's good news for the families who waited so long. The North Koreans also provided a paragraph of information with each transfer case, describing the where the contents of each had been recovered. Quote, "We're just beginning to analyze the information, but what I can tell you from my recollection from Wonsan is that a lot of the boxes came from the village called Sinhu-ri, which is in the vicinity of the Chosin Reservoir," he said. "These are remains associated with the famous battle known as the Chosin Reservoir in the fall of 1950. The site is in the same area where U.S. teams had previously worked with the North Koreans to recover missing service remains from 1996 to 2005. The name on the dog tag was clearly visible, so the family was notified by the Army Casualty Office. It did not mean that any of the remains are also in the cases. With that one identification tag, we notified the family very quickly after we got the name from the identification tag, and also the family is aware. So we continue to follow that story, not only for its implications for national security, but also just the dignity of our soldiers and Marines who go forward and fight. And by all means, there should be a full accounting, and you go to fight with that understanding in your head. Another story about AFRICOM, which is a bit of a surprise and an eyebrow raiser. Just last week or earlier this week, it's been a long week, so I can't remember. There was a story that talked about AFRICOM is now operating armed drones in Africa. Well, I mean, I hope we're not acting like that's a big deal, because that's been something that we've done all over the world, and why it wasn't done and why it took the death of four soldiers to make that happen, I'm not exactly sure. This headline on the heels of that one, though. AFRICOM looks to cut special ops missions, pull out hundreds of troops from Africa. Pretty interesting. The plan submitted by a top U.S. military commander aligned with the Trump administration's strategy on focus on near-peer threats from countries like China and Russia. The Defense Department would reportedly focus the troop cuts and decreased missions on Central and West Africa, where U.S. Special Operations missions have focused on training up African host nation forces to combat growing insurgencies from Islamic militants. But this doesn't mean the U.S. military presence in Africa is disappearing entirely. We're not walking away, said General Thomas Waldhauser, the leader of U.S. Africa Command, who submitted the plans in an interview this week with the New York Times. He added that the United States would still reserve the right to unilaterally return to protect American interests. There are currently about 6,000 U.S. troops strung throughout Africa, spread over 53 countries. It's a lot. The roughly 1,200 special operations troops on missions in Africa would be facing the most immediate drawdown, according to the New York Times interview. So interesting stuff going on in Africa, if that in fact is the case, that the United States would begin to draw down to a certain extent in Africa. So, interesting. A couple more stories, and then we'll check the early bird. Marines received new advanced air defense system as air threats loom. So, talking about fighting near peers has been much in the discussion of the DOD this year. Quote, "The recent delivery of a new advanced air defense system on Thursday shows that the Marine Corps is getting serious about a looming air defense threat. Air defense is something the Marine Corps has not had to think about over the past 17 years in Iraq and Afghanistan, where U.S. aircraft have dominated the airspace. An advanced radar system will be pivotal to the Corps as it prepares for a potential fight with a near-peer adversary where air and ballistic missile threats are rising. On Thursday, Northrop Grumman delivered the first ground-air task-oriented radar, or the G-8er, which will be shortened to Gator, which incorporates a new advanced high-powered antenna technology known as GAN. Operation of this advanced technology in production radars is unique to the Marine Corps, enables Gator to provide additional mission capabilities to the warfighter at an affordable cost. The short and medium range radar system is capable of detecting a cruise missile, air-breathing targets, rockets, mortars, and artillery. An air-breathing target could be any missile that requires the intake of oxygen for combustion. See, here you thought how silly they were, right?
Right.
I could feel you. I could certainly feel you. So interesting stuff as the Marine Corps gets a little bit more serious, or at least on paper, about defending itself from looming threats from emerging nations around the world. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll check some headlines from the early bird. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Semper Fi Fund and supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are you talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I won't say always, but often discuss on the program is there's a section called commentary and analysis in the early bird. Let me just, I'll share with you a couple of stories in that. One story, the Gray Scholarships and the Innovation in the Marine Corps. General Al Gray, former commandant of the Marine Corps, was a gruff, tough, appearing man. What most people don't understand about General Gray was what an intellectual he was. And General Gray blew intellectual life back in the Marine Corps. And with his reading programs, with his focus on maneuver warfare, and so... And I was one of the guys who learned because of it. Intrigued by the idea, how did it work, how did it lay down, what do we actually do, how do you do command and control... So this article is really interesting. It's an interesting article. A military professional reading this sentence today will confront a national security dilemma in the next 10 years. They may find themselves developing autonomous swarms and new maritime concepts to break through anti-access area denial challenges in both Europe and Asia. They may lead a planning team exploring how to reduce defense budgets in the wake of rising debt levels, inflation, and the crippling costs of a broken society safety net. And they almost certainly will find themselves at the pointy end of a spear asking fellow warriors to take that hill and breathe fire. The questions before us is how to prepare these individuals, the military professional of the future, for those crucial moments. The military profession rests on expertise in the management of violence, just as lawyers and doctors prepare to practice through years of schooling and then through licensing exams. And on-the-job training, military professional needs a lifelong learning system of professional education. If that system fails to prepare the professional for the changing character of war, much less anticipate future trends, it becomes as useless as medical school that taught bloodletting techniques. So this talks about the current crisis. In 2018, the National Defense Strategy declares that the defense education is stagnant. Senior leaders, faculty, and even junior officers are all asking why investments in professional military education are not producing the desired results. New concepts for joint warfare and competent staff officers and commanders to lead the force. So a pretty interesting little article about the role of military education and why it's stagnant. So it's interesting that, since 2013, a quiet experiment in Marine Corps University has sought to reverse some of the trends. Originally called the Advanced Studies Program, the initiative is now named after the 29th Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Al Gray. The group's charter is to connect student research teams with external organizations studying contemporary military challenges in a manner that fosters creativity, innovation, and adaption. The program is voluntary, group-oriented, and organized around research and applied learning. Gray Scholars engage students with contemporary challenges while pushing them to use current scholarships from societies and from social sciences and history. So it's interesting. So, you know, again, General Gray, and I was just talking about him earlier tonight, and in Vietnam, in fact, it was an interview, if you listen to it, it's here on All Marine Radio. It's a battle study done by General Butch Neal. And in it, General Neal talks about after a fight that he was flown to Dong Ha to meet with this commanding general of the 3rd Marine Division. He wanted to know what happened, why that company, India 39, in which four Navy crosses were awarded ultimately, and one Medal of Honor to Lieutenant John Bobo. He wanted to know what happened. When Neil pushes back and said, "We didn't do anything wrong out there, sir. In fact, we were given an order that we didn't think was right that ultimately set us up for this," and he pushed back on it, he got told to shut up and color. The one guy, and so after that, the general dismissed Neil. "Okay, Lieutenant, thank you." Obviously not what they wanted to hear, because they thought they were going to somehow or other pin this on his commanding officer. But as General Neal is leaving the CP, a major stops him and says, "Hey, I want you to, are you Lieutenant Neal?" "Yes, I am." "Come over and look at this map. Tell me what happened out there." The only one who was intellectually interested in this fight was Major Al Gray at the time. So very, very interesting throughout General Gray's career. He's he's a rugged scholar. And so these programs very much attempt to revive that spirit and go ahead and reap the benefits of creative educators who want to think outside the box and look at the problems in a different manner. So General Gray's legacy to the Marine Corps is an awesome one. The one of a creative warrior. All right, the one of a creative warrior, and then the other one is kind of an interesting story, and we've talked about this for the better part of probably a year since we started to focus on the South China Sea, and the headline says this: China has no idea how to play Trump and is doing what it always does when it smells trouble. Subheadline: in the past, Beijing has reacted to economic challenges by opening its own credit spigot and letting the money flow. And that's what it has started doing this time, too, even though the mess from the last crisis has yet to be cleared up. Thanks to U.S. President Donald Trump and his America First policy, the global economic and trade outlook perhaps has never been more uncertain. Nowhere are these economic and political shockwaves being felt more than in China. And Beijing is responding the same way it does every time it anticipates trouble, by pumping cash into the system. It has already used targeted reserve requirement cuts for select banks. This week, the People's Bank of China gushed $74 billion in U.S. dollars into the system to get funds to the small business sector. The State Council also announced $200 billion of U.S. dollars for infrastructure spending to boost what weak infrastructure numbers. While the currency fell to 0.68 to the dollar, to take the edge off terrorists, it's a playbook we have seen before. So kind of interesting, right, that China seems uncertain how to take Donald Trump. So, interesting article. Both are in today's Early Bird. We're going to momentarily be joined by the Armory Radio head chef. Just a heads up for you. The recipe that he'll talk about today is called Mexican corn. And if you go to the read board, you will see it on the read board. So you'll see the picture, you'll see the recipe. If you want to follow along, you can go ahead and check it out. So we'll take a quick break. We'll get the chef on the line. And then after the chef, you're going to get a chance, a big treat today. You're going to meet Napa Man. That's right. So Napa Man will join us. He's a longtime contributor to the group, though never appeared on the program before. So he will appear, and he's funny. So you'll enjoy him, along with our F-18 guy, Rudy. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Friday edition right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.